We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Taf Chaf Vav. The Ran had said that right after the, I think the marker's in the right place from last week, right after the commandment of setting up judges, so we have the commandment of what's more prevalent as opposed to what is more basic. That the commandments, the Sanhedrin, is be careful, don't plant trees near the Beit HaMikdash, even though that's not the root of the prohibition, but that's the more prevalent area where people would stumble, so the Torah says, stay away from that. We're up to the 11th drasha, and we're at the paragraph that begins with, Samach leze lo tizbach l'shem elokecha shov aseh asher yobomum, v'tzarich tam l'smichut zeh. You could look up the words v'tzarich tam. You guys have it? Should I continue or wait? We have to understand why this is juxtaposed. That right after that commandment it says, don't offer an animal that is blemished. Why do we have judges? Don't plant trees on the Har HaMoriah, on the Temple Mount, and don't sacrifice an animal that's blemished. Why is that here? I saw the Ibn Ezra, and he says what he explains isn't enough. The Ibn Ezra writes over there, after it warned you not to set up an Asherah, after it warns you not to set up a stone, a matzeva, in the worship of Hashem, so it also tells you, don't offer a blemished animal. He says, that's not enough. Al dati, what I think, says the Ran. Our sages point out that in the days of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, their sacrifices were specifically brought on a matzeva, a one stone altar. And then when the pagans adopted that form of sacrifice, Hashem says, I hate it now, I don't want it anymore. Because in ancient times, the patriarchs, Adam, Noah, they all brought sacrifices on a single large stone. So that was loved before Hashem. And then, after it was adopted, Hashem says, I don't like it anymore. Once we say, okay, what they do in their worship of idols, leave it out of the worship of Hashem. Rambam takes us to an extreme. He says, that's why the Beit HaMikdash gets holier as you go westward. He says, the pagans would always go holier as they went eastward towards the rising sun. And the Torah wanted us to go and be the opposite from the pagans. So the Torah says, okay, set up the structure of the Beit HaMikdash so that you enter from the east and your back is always to the east and you get holier as you go westward. Yes?
We're saying the mitzvot are eternal and they're godly and God's going to base it off of what other people do?
Good question. Let's hear out the Ran. It's a good question. Yesh lanu lek... Okay, I'll give a short answer.
Right.
I'll give a short answer. We look at paganistic things and we say, those were ancient backward people. And we have to ask ourselves if they didn't tap into eternal human weaknesses. And when the Torah gives us mitzvot that are eternal, the Torah is giving you a systematic method and rules and a way of life that will address those eternal weaknesses. Be it the prayer to death. You see, till today, there are satanic cults that do things that are identical to what was done in paganistic cults. The question is, are they backwards or are they tapping into a sadistic, eternal flaw or weakness in the human character? Are they backwards? Or maybe.
Sure.
I don't know. It's not a Yetzer Hara I have. I don't get hungry when I look at you, right?
I'm saying, how far are we going to say, oh, they're not backwards? That's a normal human.
It's a good question.
When I was working, right. I didn't defend
exactly. Civilization is a very good
idea. She drinks less to the bottom of the ink or stronger. This is still something that exists today.
For sure.
Okay, like this. Warned God in the Torah, this, and I stood there and just going, okay. He's like, well, how about Hitler? This is not right.
And that is us. It's not like it's so beyond.
It's not like someone's stupid. It's someone with like multiple PhDs. Like, not a stupid person. Like, people, this isn't like what you're saying, but eternal truth and weakness. I've seen this person.
Amoel told me he went to do Britot in Russia. And as he was doing Britot, he heard squealing next door. So he asked the doctors he was with. He was in a hospital. He said, what's going on? So he said, next door to us is a delicacy, high-end restaurant. So he said, so what's all the squealing? He says, in the back room, they have vats. This is a high-end restaurant, right? Like one of the classiest restaurants. He said, in these vats, they boil pigs alive. And as the pigs are squealing, they make an incision in their heart. And they take out the red-hot blood as the pig is squealing to death. And they serve that to people hot, and that's considered a delicacy.
Like a cup of
coffee? I'm telling you what the mole told me, okay? So you're going to tell me everyone's backwards? I don't know. I mean, just saying it over makes me want to throw up. But, okay, we have sensitivities that the Torah drives into us. And we slowly impact the world. But when we say the Torah responded to paganistic things, I'm not sure that means there was a cult that existed for like a year or a period in history and the Torah responded to it. Maybe there are eternal flaws or weaknesses in our character.
They weren't so backwards either. I mean, most engineering, a lot of engineering, but like they did crazy bit of engineering. Figure out bank gardens, you know, statues, you know, harbors, ships, all kinds of stuff they came up with. You know, they worked out principles of buoyancy, they worked out huge amounts of stuff, you know, we don't get credit for it. These aren't backwards people. You know, they have some delusions. We could say the delusions are based on what they saw around them. That's what I say. If you didn't know anything about Hashem, right, and just observed nature, you say, oh, look, there looks like a force that does this. It looks like a force that does this. It's actually perfectly logical. It's wrong, but it's logical.
Most of us, or many of us who weren't brought up from life, you know, we thought of us. We used to think of others as backward move. What do you mean you don't do this, you don't do that? There's middle ages stuff or whatever. Ah, there's a system to it. Well, other cultures have a system too. We think of it as barbaric
it's not barbaric.
It's a subjective word. You've heard it, we know this. I mean, you know, something gross is all cultural. But, you know.
So the Ran says, I think the juxtaposition is that if the Torah says don't bring a sacrifice on a one stone altar, so then Hashem is saying, even though initially I liked it, I don't want you to do what pagans do. So then you might think the inverse is also true, that whatever they don't do, you should do. And יש לנו לקרב מה שהם מרחיקים ואחר שאינם מקריבים בהמה שהיא מחוסרת עבר. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us, if a pagan comes to you and says, I want to buy a white bird, so you could cut off a finger and sell him the bird. Because if he asked for a white bird, you have to suspect he plans on offering it as a sacrifice. If it's missing a finger, he won't bring it as a sacrifice. So the Gemara says over there in Avodah Zarah that you see the nations in their paganistic rituals would be careful. They would not sacrifice an animal that was missing a limb. So you might think, what?
Can you just refuse to sell it to him?
Yeah. It says, ideally you should. You shouldn't sell him a white pigeon. The Gemara, so the Ran is saying, you might think, just as I say, what they do, what they're fond of in their paganistic rituals, so I won't do in my service of Hashem. So maybe the inverse is also true. What they say is not good, I will do. If they say it's not good to bring a blemished animal, so I will bring a blemished animal. I might think that the Torah tells me, you have your own system of blemishes that are no good, but whatever blemishes they say are no good, that you should bring. Lefichach pirish v'amar. That's why the Torah clarifies and says she'ena davar ken. It's not so. Shasul lanu lizbach l'shem elokeinu kol b'mashtiyeh balat mum. We're prohibited from sacrificing an animal that is blemished, or she'eba kol davar ra me'ezamin she'eh, or if it has anything wrong with it, it doesn't matter what. V'natan asiba b'zeh v'amar. Hashem gives the reasoning ki to'avat Hashem elokecha hu, because this is something Hashem finds despicable. Klomar. כל שאר הדברים כולם שמנעם הכתוב שלו להידמות כמעשהם אין בהם דבר שימשך ממנו ביזיון לעבודת השם יתברך. In every other commandment that the Torah says don't be like them, you're not disgracing Hashem by not being like them. ואין הדבר כן מזובח מושחת לפני השם. But that's not so when you take an animal that is harmed, when you take an animal that is blemished, and you offer that as a sacrifice before Hashem, there that's a disgrace in the service of Hashem. כי תהיה עבודתנו נמבזה בכך. Our sacrifice, our service, is then also put down if we would adopt that way. כעניין שכתוב, as the Navi tells us in Malachi, הקריבהו נא לפחתך, הירצך או היסף ענך. Would you offer it to your governor? You think he'd like you better if you'd offer a blemished animal? So to Hashem says, when you bring sacrifices, be careful. I'm telling you not to adopt the pagan ways. Don't go to the opposite extreme and take things that they push off and say, oh, this must be good for Hashem. No, it's not nice to offer a blemished animal. I don't want that either. That's the balancing, says the Ran, of why the two are juxtaposed.